Next, we'll hear from someone who has a special role at the San Francisco Pride Parade this year.
I spoke with Paul Aguilar. He's been going to Pride in San Francisco for decades. In fact, he can still remember his very first Pride in 1976.
Like it was yesterday. So 13 years old, I had missed the marching part of Pride, but I knew
he delivered newspapers back then. So once he got off, he rode his bike all the way down to Golden Gate Park, where the march used to end.
When I got there, it was like hedonistic revelry personified. I mean, there was the sounds of the disco music thumping. There was the smell of, you know, the camellia flowers and freshly mown grass mixed with pot and booze and sex.
For Aguilar, that day had a big effect.
There was one feeling, one unmistakable feeling, and that was the feeling of acceptance. This was my tribe. This is what I have been looking for. These were my people. It was a life-changing moment for me.
Aguilar is this year's Lifetime Achievement Grand Marshal of the San Francisco Pride Community. Recognition earned after years of advocacy for people living with HIV and AIDS. I recently talked to him about that work and his own life after being diagnosed with HIV. You were diagnosed with HIV in 1988. I was wondering if you could take me back to that time and tell me what that experience was like.
I'll never forget it. And when they read the results, the doctor sat down, closed the door, and said, "I'm really sorry. Test came back positive. You have about 5 years left." And the rest of what he said was like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. All I knew was I had to get out of there because then it was a death sentence. It was. And so I started making those plans in 1988 at 25 years old. You know, 5 years to love, 5 years to have a full life and experience all the things that a full life would have in 5 years seemed impossible. And I, like many others, decided to dull that fear, that pain, that anxiety with, you know, partying. It's what we did.
Well, medication to treat the disease ended up coming out, and that doctor's prediction didn't come to pass. What was it like to realize that you would survive?
Oh, yeah. Prior to the meds, Castro was like a ghost town. And all you saw walking there were living skeletons, literally. Then the meds came out, and after a couple of months, people were healthy, active again. It was really amazing. And I realized then, it's like, oh, well, we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen, but I can't continue down this path. So I got sober, I went back to school, got a degree in fundraising, and started living life. I mean, I met my ex-husband, had my stepkids, all way past the 30-year expiration date they gave me.
I know you have dedicated a lot of your life to working on advocating for survivors of HIV/AIDS. Could you tell me a little bit about that work, in particular, some of the unmet needs of survivors?
Oh. Well, nobody planned for a geriatric HIV patient. We're supposed to be dead now, and we're not. And studies have shown, and research has shown, that certain things like the onset of dementia or Alzheimer's actually occur in people with HIV much earlier than people without HIV. HIV in and of itself, since it's a disease of inflammation, ages our bodies on the average 13 and a half years more than our actual biological age. So I look good for 73, huh? That's part of the unmet needs. You know, a lot of men and women came to San Francisco in the 70s because their families threw them out when they came out, like from the Midwest and what have you. And so San Francisco was the place where we all came. That's how it became the gay mecca that it is. And they had built these families of choice. And then their families of choice started dying. And so now you've got guys my age and older who are like, who's going to take care of us? Well, we need to be taken care of because they have no family. And their entire social circle of friends have passed away. So who's going to take care of us? But there's so many needs. There's isolation. When you have lost your entire circle of friends, or you've lost a lover, or two, or three, that kind of trauma takes its toll.
How have you come to cope with that trauma yourself?
I mean, I've gone through my depression and the PTSD. I've gotten therapy. I've gotten a lot of counseling, which has been very helpful. because I tell people the only people who understand what we walked through in those first 15 years of AIDS are folks who have survived genocide. And unless you've experienced that, you don't know. What was really most interesting is that we would still go to the clubs and dance. That's how we dealt with it. We danced that pain away and that insecurity away and that anger away. And now we dance to remember those we've lost and to celebrate them. And that's also part of Pride.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for this conversation and for your work.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
That was my conversation with Paul Aguilar, this year's Lifetime Achievement Grand Marshal of San Francisco Pride.
That's the end of KQED's Pride Radio Special.
But just for now, we'll be back with more throughout the day. You can also find more of our Pride coverage on kqed.org.
San Francisco's Pride Parade kicks off at 10:30 this morning on Market Street. Happy Pride. I'm Azul Dahlstrom-Eckman.
And I'm Rachel Vasquez. You're listening to KQED News on the Weekend.